Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser. I am in St. Louis. Andrew is in St. Louis. We are in the same building. We are not in the same room because we are not getting along. No, it's not that. It's COVID-y issues. And then Noah is in Arizona. It is Wednesday. That's how I say it in my head every time I write it so that I say it, write it right. Wednesday's a hard one. So, like when you're a little kid learning things. And Tuesday's not easier either. Tuesday, you would just think it's T-U-S when you're a little kid. I would always say T-U-S.
T-W-O-S. No?
Oh. Have you ever seen the TikTok where they're like, they hold up cards for a girl to say, and they're like, T-W-I. And she's like, twee. They're T-W-A. Twa. And then they're T-W-U. Twoo. And then T-W-O. She's like, two. And everyone laughs. She's like, twoa. What, twoa? And then you really examine it. You're like, well, two is such a weird word to spell it that way. There's no other TW words that just go two.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Tot, twat, tot.
No. It's all twist.
No. No, I know. I think they just ran out of, I think T-O and T-O-O was first. And then they were like, well, we got to.
But you could do T-O-U.
Or they could have not T-O-O-O. Done T-O-O-O. It could have been any word. It could have been...
T-O-O-O. two.
Gip. It could have been one, gip, three.
I don't know like why they're not having three letters and things.
What do you mean?
Why not T-O-O-O?
Three vowels. What?
Just three letters. I mean, it's a letter, too. Why don't we just do... I mean, that's what I was... I had written in my phone, you know how sometimes you write like a joke idea or whatever? And I just have tired with 37 D's. And I remembered, I keep going, what does that mean? Tired with 37 D's. And then I realized it was like part of my joke making fun of young girls and how their Instagrams do that little thing where they're just like, they just like twitch a little bit, and like the hair falls in their face, and it's like a boomerang, but it's a microsecond. It's not a boomerang's like a full second. These are like micro, and then they always write like, "I'm tired," with like 37 D's, and 37 D's is also the size of their bra.
And then like, they go viral for it, and then people are like, "Dude, this is like genius."
But yeah, there is something about writing multiple letters in a thing that conveys tone via texting, you know?
Yeah, I feel like when people
I'm Brenna tired.
Write out okay, not just do K. I don't know.
O-K-A-Y.
Yeah.
Or like the O and K. Which one seems more passive aggressive to you?
Okay, without an exclamation mark is hell. It's the ma'am of affirmative answers.
Okay spelled out too makes it feel...
It makes it feel like a grade school teacher. Like, it just seems so grammatically correct. Okay, because that is how you spell okay.
Avi always writes out okay in our messages, and I always read it like, okay.
Yeah, that's how I read it too.
Mad at me?
We give so much tone to things.
Yeah.
Like, I just wrote... My assistant is having to change like a million flights because of just me canceling my LA trip and everything. And it's like her job now is just like calling airlines and saying like, "We didn't mean to book that flight. Can we get a refund?" And she had to do it again this morning because I found a cheaper flight somewhere that was not available yesterday. And I just wrote back to her, "Fuck. Like, God, this is your job now. Like, I'm so sorry." And she just goes, "What's wrong?" And so it's like, oh, no, I just meant like, I was just like sharing your consternation that you probably have. And she's like, "Oh, okay." And so I just made things worse by being like, "Fuck," because she thought something on my end happened. How do you feel about voice memos?
I'm a fan in the sense that things don't get lost in textlation.
Yes.
You know, so you can there's no tone in text.
Guessing.
And usually people go to the worst tone possible. Unless you add an LOL and an emoji. There's so many times I add an LOL when there's no need for an LOL.
But the thing is, like, an LOL doesn't mean laugh out loud anymore. It just means don't read this in a sarcastic or aggressive
yes.
tone.
Yeah.
That's what it means. It's almost like the italics of... It's just a way to like, or an exclamation mark really does that too, I think.
Yeah.
But LOL makes it so gentle. Thank God for LOL. I mean, we can roll our eyes about like, oh, it's not really laughing out loud, but that's what it is. It's just a shortcut to be like, I come in peace. It's like, it's the same way when you honk at someone and you either go, or you go like, meow, meow.
You know? Yeah, that's a fun little honk. No one's ever
it's
been
so
shot
hard to
for
do,
a
though. When you get, like, if you have a, like, you just like, can you just move like a little, can you, like,
and
it's
then
the difference between excuse me and someone in line and go, oh, excuse me.
The problem is, though, is either A, they won't hear the ha-ha, so then you got to go ha-ha again, yeah. And then you got to go another ha-ha-ha, and then
yes.
they lose their mind because
yes.
it's like seven ha-has.
Yes.
Which equals one huge ha.
Yeah. I hate getting at no matter what. I mean, usually they're right because I'm checking my phone when I'm at a stoplight.
Yeah.
And they're probably in a hurry and they want to get their 0.07 seconds earlier than they would if I wasn't checking my phone. But they're right.
Yeah.
And I always kind of look up and I go, oh my God, you're right. And then I'm kind of embarrassed when they drive past me. And then they're embarrassed when I get right next to them at the next light. You know, the rules of the road.
Rules of the road, man. You forget
you
all
feeling?
About it when you live in New York City. You forget, like driving and like just rules of the road. Like just, I don't know. It's interesting that I went 10 years without a car, like in my 30s. That's weird.
I love driving so much.
It's the best.
I miss it.
I used to get panic attacks driving though on the highway sometimes in Florida. Like, I don't know.
Well, you were getting panic attacks for everything, kind of. I got panic attacks, like, ride, not, you know, my version of that. I don't want to, it's not the same as other people's, but, like, yeah, riding in cars and not having control. But you driving yourself, that would be horrifying to get a panic attack while you're in control of a heavy machine. almost like Bo Burnham saying he gets panic attacks while he's on stage. You go, how could that happen?
See, one time I got, multiple times, yeah, on the highway. So then part of you wants to get off the highway to get rid of it. Then the other part of you wants to drive faster to get home quicker. But
didn't
that's
you get
not
one
safe.
On a bridge once?
No, that was...
Truman Show.
That might have been Truman Show.
Did you ever see
the
Truman
Show? Truman Show?
Oh my God, yeah. That is that's my one of my favorite movies. I have to remember that next time people are like, what's your favorite movie? Do you ever like just struggle to remember anything that is your favorite when people seem to ask you for it?
Every
all time.
Time. Right?
Yeah, we struggle with that on the show when we do worst up,
top
first
one,
up.
One.
Yeah.
You can't even think of the top one.
Yeah,
bottom
and
one.
It's one of my favorite segments.
By the way,
what's your top one, bottom one, top one, bottom one?
I just want to give a shout out to the besties on Reddit who posted a thread about all of our top one, bottom one, saying it would be a great board game.
Oh,
and they put it all together.
Thing.
Yeah, and they put it all together, and like I have it in a spreadsheet, but it's all spread out. But to like see it together,
I love them. It's really so cute. Like, I don't go on Reddit, and I'm sorry that I don't get to go over to our thing. It's just to protect myself in case one douchebag says something wrong, and it sucks that I. But you know that I'm in so many communications with besties on my DMs, and that I feel like I am accessible to you guys. If you really need me, I always will be. I love the posts we got on that you reposted that I hadn't seen yet on our Nikki Glaser Pod Instagram. No, I'm guessing you reposted the people with the merch.
Mm-hmm.
Like doing little dances and like so proud to be wearing their merch. It really touched me in a way that like, I don't know how to describe it. It's different than... I've been having fans for almost 20 years now, and it's just different. It feels so good. It's so cute. And I know what that feels like to be a fan of a show or like just, you know, three people. Like I know what it's like. So it, I guess it hits different. It's just so sweet. So thank you to everyone who bought merch, and thank you to everyone who, you know, participates in spreading the word of the show,
spreading that good word.
I mean, we met a lot of besties this past weekend, Austin, which we couldn't do meet and greets in Austin because it was a festival. So I apologize to any besties that were there. And then we saw some in the that drove by us late at night. Remember that, Andrew?
Yeah, it's funny. A little drive-by shout out.
That's always fun. And then Dallas.
While they're peeling off, doing something good.
And Houston. No, they weren't peeling.
They peeled a little. It was a little peel.
No, we met some really good good fans and sweeties out there. And I meant to remember their names. And I remember faces, though. And it's just nice.
It's cool when like you don't expect like someone to be a fan. And then you're like, really? What? Like,
yeah.
How did we end up in your life? Like,
who was that so girl? That was first in line in Dallas. What was her name? She was fun.
Oh,
she
yeah,
was so
she
was, funny.
I
she
mean,
was
that
like,
was.
She was like,
what happened?
Oh my God. She's such a huge fan. She starts out, Andrew, do you remember what it started out as? It started out as like, oh no, this girl's going to be trouble. But then it quickly turned into, no, she is just excited and I love her energy. And she was saying, she's referencing a lot of inside jokes. She was by herself, or maybe she was with a friend, but her friend had removed herself from the situation to be not embarrassed because she was freaking out. And she's like, no, Andrew, you need to get in this picture too because Andrew's taking pictures. Andrew, do you remember what she said?
She was just all over the place, but she's like, love you, Brenna. Kisses, Brenna. I love you. Oh, I love the show so much. Oh,
hand
my
drip.
God. Ham drip.
Lots of ham drips.
Like, yeah, a lot of hand drips. We get a lot of ham drips. Like, just sometimes they'll like whisper it so no one else knows.
I remember she had the curse ever.
Oh, what was it again?
She had a, oh my God, this was my favorite curse I've ever heard. Because it involves curse. It's like an inception curse. So she would listen to our podcast in front of her ex-boyfriend, I believe is what the case was. And she would say curse around her ex-boyfriend. She'd call it things out for being cur in front of him. Not things that he was doing, things that she would see. And he never asked what it meant. Cur! You don't know what cum means, yet your girlfriend's using this. You are trying to act like you might even know it, or you don't care. That was so cuh. I fucking loved that cuh so much. And then she was calling herself cuh about something, and I go, no, you are not. Oh, no, there was something she did that was kind of cuh. That maybe it was in the audience that night or something. She was like, and I was cuh in this way. And I was like, yeah, that is cuh, but like, but it was so funny to me that, because I've done that before where I'm trying to get my boyfriend's attention, not my boyfriend now, but like, you know, other boyfriends. He's the only boyfriend I've ever had, so it's always him. no, I've tried to like get their attention by doing something and then they don't pick up on it. And you're like, cuh. Like, you know, this thing is like you've never heard of it before, or you've never like, come on.
Yeah, there's a, I think she was called herself for out for being cuh because, you know, I posted that thing on Instagram where like light laughers or whatever. So now I think like people think they have to laugh too loud for me. Like I'm like a make a wish kind of kid. And I'm like, they're like, we laugh so loud that I think it was like annoying people how loud we were laughing. I was like, no, they're laughing. It's like, I get it that you're being very nice, but like, I don't need the charity laugh of like, I gave it extra for you, pal.
Yes.
Like patting me on the top of the head. Like, yes. I did it for you, little pal boy. And it's like,
yeah, that was just one night nice. You had soft laughers.
Soft laugh. Yeah.
I always want people to laugh exactly the amount they want to. That's why I blur my eyes, because when you look at people, it's a tactic to get them to laugh harder. You have the lights up, I try to have the lights down. I try to never go out in the audience because I never want to put pressure on people to have a better time than they are really. I want people to have an authentic experience where they don't feel pressured to do anything they don't want to do. And there's something so great about eliciting laughs from people that could easily not laugh. You know, like there's something special when, you know, when you're in a setting like that. There are so many factors that play into why you laugh or why you don't laugh. Like, you know, in comedy clubs, everyone's bunched up as close as possible to the front because laughter is contagious and it will make you laugh if people are laughing and having a good time. We've talked about some of the tricks, laughing at your own jokes, having little like cues, like slapping your knee with a microphone, like Chappelle does. Like there's little things that can make the audience like, you know, lacing your material with the word fuck, like doing, there's certain tricks. And there's also tricks that I'm employing throughout my set that, you know, are just the ways that comedians learn how to talk in a way that's funnier than not talk. Like I've learned it's funnier for me to go like, because old glazed dog needs a da da da, instead of saying, because I need to hear compliments. For me to say, for me to button up a joke about compliments that has no punchline, and I just finish it with like, because you know what? Old glazed dog needs a compliment. That is funnier than me saying, because I need a compliment. You know, there's tricks like that, but then there's really deliberate ones that are just gross. But I always am very touched when people have been watching, say they watch something online or like on TV, and they're like, you had me like laughing alone in my apartment because there's no pressure on you to do that. Do you ever laugh alone? Like when you're watching something, when was the last time you really like laughed at something by yourself?
This is like one of those top one, bottom one moments where I have no idea.
Right.
But,
last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm when I was binging it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, you know,
the Woody Harrelson episode, I laughed very hard.
Oh my God. About him going out to the farm and like the cow and stuff.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard at Molly Shannon's book. Andrew caught me on the plane laughing to myself because I couldn't help it. I read that book in 2 days. I am bragging. I fucking sped through it. It's a big book and I read it all. It is so good. It's called Hello Molly. I really recommend it for a Mother's Day gift because it's all about her losing her mom at a young age and how her dad ended up being like her mother and how that relationship was kind of fucked up. But it would be a really good gift for mothers, I think, even though it's a tragic loss of a mom at the age of like 6, she was, because it's about it's about her living her life to make her mom proud, even though her mom was never there. So it's it's a beautiful gift to give a woman because it's a really triumphant story about a woman who kind of a self-made comedian, like superstar success. Like, it's so beautiful. But I was laughing. The book made me cry within 10 pages. Like, so crying. It's really sad what happened to her and her family. You should read it to find out. It's called Hello, Molly. But I was laughing so hard at one part. Andrew looked over at me on the plane, and I wasn't trying to be like, I'm laughing at a book, I'm smart. I was just laughing because she was describing the sketches. It was her the SNL chapters, and she was describing some of the segments that I had never even seen, like, or I couldn't remember. I didn't remember Sally O'Malley, who is this woman that was based off of. Her friend went to go like sign up for Equinox or something, and her friend said that this woman was showing around, and she was like, listen, I'm 50 and I can kick and I can splits. I'm 50. This is the way a woman who's 50. And so she created this character who was like, and I can kick and I can stretch and I'm 50. And so I was laughing so hard. Then I looked up all these sketches and I'm dying because there were so many. It's so funny to read about sketches, ones that you remember. Also, ones I was desperate to find. I could only find transcripts of, because she was like, you know, there's this one sketch where we were working at a Fridays, and the way Will Ferrell said, welcome to Fridays, made me laugh so hard. Or like the way he said, I'm Gerald, Cunningham III. Welcome to TGI Fridays. She was like, I cracked up. I broke. And so I'm looking for TGI Fridays, Will Ferrell, Molly Shannon. I can't find it. So I just find the transcript. But it's really, I really went through a depression after reading that book, because I lost my friend Molly, who was talking to me for 2 days, like, straight. It's a real thing that happens to me with books that are really, really good. And that one, I like suffered for a couple days afterwards of being like, I wish I could talk to my friend. And she is my friend. She gave, you know, she reached out to me on DM, but I don't want to bother her. But I fucking love that book so much. And I want to talk to you when we get back from break next week, a week from tomorrow. It's Nikki Glaser Day in St. Louis, and I'm doing something very special, and we're going to talk about it when we get back. Andrew!
Hey, hi, everyone.
Come on down, 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 down.
Come on down, now, brown cow, down, now.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together, and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them, and I did wash it, and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman, and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. This weekend, we're going to be in New Orleans Friday or Thursday night. One of the either Fort Lauderdale or Jacksonville Friday night. Either Fort Lauderdale or Jacksonville Saturday night. And then
Fort
Sunday
Lauderdale
night,
Friday, I'll Jacksonville Saturday.
Okay. Fort Lauderdale Friday. Yeah.
Okay. 22nd is Fort Lauderdale. I think that's Friday.
Friday.
And then Jacksonville on Saturday.
Okay.
And Nashville on the 24th.
Now, Andrew, are we going to have any family coming out to these shows? Is Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville, and close to where you came from in Port St. Lucie?
You know, my boy in Nashville, Jake Owen, plus one.
Jake Owen's coming.
Oh, he's coming? Jake Owen's coming out. He's bringing the whole honky-tonk with him, man.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to ask Jake Owen about something that I've been bothering you about before.
Oh, shit.
You know, yeah, you got I did a deep dive, as I do, about Taylor Swift and who she's dated and who different songs are about. And I did read that she wrote one song about Jake Owen. I forget. Will you look up, Noah, which song that is? I don't know why I'm talking like Dr. Phil. I am doing his podcast later today. I will be on Dr. Phil's podcast. I will be on Ask Chelsea. That podcast is coming up soon. Whitney Cummings, that podcast is up already. The one that we talk about family constellations
at Riplet. I have like 45 minutes left.
Oh my God. So you have 1/10 of it left? It's the longest podcast in history.
So long. It's great though.
I'm so glad it's great. Whitney and I both, we have this thing that after a podcast, I've done her podcast now 4 or 5 times. After a podcast, we always walk out and we go, That was like not good, right? And I go, listen, it doesn't even matter. Like, you don't have to put it up. She goes, I just was like not present. I just got some bad family news, which she talks about on the show. So I'm not divulging anything that she didn't divulge. And she's like, and I go, you don't have to put it up. Like, I just want to hang out with you. I don't care if you, like, we can just trash it. Like, that sometimes you do a bad podcast. And we're both like, was that bad? And then Emily, her producer, is like, no, it was good. And we're like, no, that. And I go, Whitney, I just realized we have this conversation in your immaculate, beautiful marble foyer every single time that we think this is shit. And then you always find out it's like one of the best podcasts that your fans love. And then she sends her podcast, I think, to her cousin, like her niece to listen to like test them. And her niece wrote back, like she sent it to me. She's like, I think it's good to go. Cause her niece was like, this is the best podcast. So
you have great chemistry.
We really do. We're both really chatty ladies. It's amazing that anyone gets a word in, but she I'm a little gay for her. I gotta be honest. She is so beautiful. And I said at the beginning of the podcast, I thought, I was like, I was having fantasies of making out with you today. It's really bizarre. And I say that it's totally someone who's in a happy relationship. I just think she's so beautiful. And I feel so loved by her. It's really weird. Like, I feel like, I don't know why I'd want to make out with someone who I feel maternal towards, or that she feels maternal towards me. But then she hooked me up with all that Taylor Swift stuff. Anyway,
the it's song interesting is Sparks to- Fly.
Sparks Fly. Okay. Yes. Okay,
so what's the song about? Let's go through the song.
Yeah,
let's
listen to the lyrics. Or let's talk about the lyrics.
You want me to read the lyrics?
Yeah, well, you just start us off. I'll be able to pick up. So I just don't forget how it opens.
The way you move is like a full-on rainstorm, and I'm a house of cards.
The way you move is like a full-on rainstorm, and I'm a house of cards. I think that's off key, but yeah.
You're the kind of reckless that should send me running, but I
You're the kind of reckless that could send me running, but
I kind of know that I won't go far.
Should I call Jake right now and see?
No. It's too much. Because honestly,
it's too much on the spot.
He's been asked about this before, and he chooses. Okay. This is going to be a conversation I have with him offline that he feels safe that I won't talk about it. Even though
besties
will, I'll fashion egg it so he won't be implied.
Yeah, you're right.
What's the chorus?
Okay. Drop everything now. Meet me in the pouring rain.
Drop everything now. Meet me in the pouring rain. Kiss me on the sidewalk. Take away the pain. Because I've seen sparks fly. Whenever you walk by, hit me with those green eyes, baby, and the light's so bright. It'll something that'll haunt you when you're not around. Because I see sparks fly. Whenever you smile. Is that right?
Yep. Yes.
Does he have green eyes?
He does.
Yes, green eyes is in there.
You're gonna write a song about a honky-tonk. You're friends with a guy named Andrew from high school or college. I don't remember which.
High school.
He's gonna do a podcast with Nikki Glaser, and she's gonna sing the song off-key.
Down.
That's how it goes, I think.
To the honky-tonk, we're going down.
Down to the honky. Okay, so Nikki Glaser Day in St. Louis is coming up this next Thursday. There's a Cardinals game. The mayor's assistant, mayor can't make it, but the mayor's assistant is going to grant me a star somewhere, and I'm going to get a fucking food item named after me. I'm going to get the key to Ballpark Village, which is like this whole area near the stadium that is where people, fans, Cardinals fans go. I'm going to get the key to it. I don't know what I'm going to do with that key. I just want to go in janitor's closets and stuff. I'm like a janitor for the day. Like, I got access to anything.
Yeah, what does this key get you? What is it? But, like, what does it get you into? Like, what is the key?
I don't know. Like, the different garages. And, like, I just feel like I could go around and do maintenance all day.
What's the date?
No, it's just the Ballpark Village. Key to the ball, not to the city, to Ballpark Village.
Oh, just Ballpark Village. You got to stay in Ballpark Village.
Yeah, which is the best part of the city. It's a great little place. You know, Cardinals fans are huge. Like this, you know, we're some of the best fans maybe ever. And so it means a lot. And they're doing this whole day called Nikki Glaser Day at the stadium. They wanted to do like my face on like these little cardboard things so everyone in the audience could like have my face on theirs. But I just thought that would maybe be too much. And I just felt like, some people are going to be like, who's Nikki Glaser? Fuck this bitch. Like, we love John Hamm. We don't want, I'm throwing out the first pitch. Which
the cardboard, I mean, Botox.
Wait, are you going to practice?
Look great.
And what day is Nikki Glaser Day for?
Thursday, the 28th.
So I know Chris helped you throw. I helped you in the green room.
So this
you already
happened.
Have great form. Yeah.
So I appreciate, like, I got validated from two men that I really trust when it comes to form and sports. Form sports. These guys are both NBAs, natural-born athletes. That's what I call NBAs. And so I'm throwing out the first pitch. I asked them if I could sing the national anthem, which, given my rendition of Sparks Fly today, I don't see why they wouldn't want to do that. But they said they just ignored that, and they kept saying first pitch. And so I was like, can I just go out with the Cardinals girls in short shorts and, like, stand on the dugout and, like, do the little slingshot for, like, T-shirts and, like, you know, just do a dance with Fred Bird? Please, not the first pitch. I don't want to. You guys don't understand. I don't like. You do understand. You know me. I don't like balls. I'm like that girl in Clueless. My surgeon said I shouldn't have balls flying at my face. Well, there goes your social life. So I do not. I don't like catching balls. I don't like throwing them. I always feel like I'm just such, like, I'm a joke. Like, people are just like, oh my God, she threw that like a girl, you know, even though that's like a compliment because I love being a girl, da 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 da.
Dainty.
So the only person I'm really okay being vulnerable about my lack of athletic prowess in front of it when it comes to someone I really respect athletically is Chris. I do not invite Andrew into this because I just am, until I got validation from Chris that I had good form, I would not have ever shown it to Andrew because I just don't know why. Chris, I know, will love me no matter what. I know Andrew will too, but I just feel like Andrew will laugh at me. Whereas Chris won't laugh at me. He'll just like help me. But I feel like Andrew will be helping me through giggles of how bad I am.
I think I proved myself that I didn't giggle in your face. But I went in the bathroom.
But I was good.
Like, that bitch.
That's why you didn't giggle.
Well, I lied.
So the other night, Chris came over and he has a little ball that he keeps here that he rolls out on like his shoulder and stuff. Roll out. And he and I started throwing it. And he just taught me. He just was like, just throw it. And he was like, okay, well, that was straight. But
wait,
we're
I
in
have
my
a question.
Room. Yes.
Did he stand behind you and like put his hands on your hands and bring
no,
out
like
that
the ball?
Oh, my
technique.
God. That movie Fever yeah. Pitch. It would have been so hot. No, he didn't do that. Andrew did, though. And I go, why are we doing? No. No one did that for me. They just, Chris taught me a thing where I step back with my left foot. I rotate mm-hmm. my right foot to out. I raise up my left foot. It's like, you know, just to do a little funny thing beforehand that looks like I'm like, you know, just a little performative thing, and then wind up and throw. And then
you should spit on the ball.
Yeah, that's what I, that's
and
what
then
Chris
rub
said
it
to
in.
Do.
Are yeah. you going to look
I just
back
don't
and
wanna,
forth?
Oh, yeah. I want to do like a cartwheel or like a back bend or like, I don't know. I saw Simone Biles too, but it's like, why would I try to do anything Simone Biles does?
You know what you should do, honestly? Huh. I think when you get up there, face towards second base and then go, oh, fuck. Like just a quick, like you're facing the wrong way and you catch your...
It's like, that's almost too obvious that it's
I know,
like,
but
it's
that's
so
why
wrong. It would be funnier to do something that's like... like a very like an earnestly like something I would get wrong that I would never get wrong, you know what I'm saying? I know you're saying it's like so exaggerated that it's funny, but
that's my point. Yeah, like is that it's just so like like if it was like a little bit too long that you were just facing second,
what if I was like licking my fingers and like, you know, doing the thing under my eye, like is there any kind of like funny anyway?
Oh, you could pretend to have like Vaseline all over, like a lot of pitchers will hide like Vaseline and like they're like go use your tit sweat.
No, I don't want to be filthy because St. Louis already is kind of like, ugh, are we letting this fucking whore on our,
okay, well,
you know, Christian baseball field. So so then Andrew and I threw around Matt Pond's sock last in Dallas. We were throwing around COVID and Andrew said it was good. He was impressed. But I mean, it was a sock. I mean, what are we gonna do? And he gave me some tips that were
Isn't
really good
harder?
Which was like,
because the sock is lighter than a ball?
Yeah, but it was easier to like really try to throw it as hard as possible. Whereas if I was indoors trying to, I just, there's a part of me that's so scared of breaking things that I just never will throw it as hard as I can unless it's something that I know won't hurt anyone. And he taught me to like loosen up my arm because I was kind of like all bunched up and like, ugh. And then yesterday, Chris picked me up and brought me, we went and played catch in Forest Park. And we played catch for like an hour and I'm so good. I hate to brag, but I'm really good. And we were doing it from 60 and a half feet away, which is like,
yeah,
is not going to be the distance that I'm going to have to do it because that's the distance between the, you know, the pitcher's mound and home plate. But they're going to come in for me a little bit further. And
I think
Chris
was
like,
I think you tell him to stay. I think you do 60. I think it would
yeah,
be badass.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be funny if I just go, nope, go back.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then I
go
totally
back,
fuck it
get
up.
Down.
I
did
will
you
say
see,
that, yeah.
Did you see the video of the baseball that hit the, I think, the pitcher's butt?
Yes.
Did you see that video?
It was so hot. It like yeah, ricocheted. He was like J-Lo. It was like so hot.
Yeah,
it was like a
ball,
juicy ass.
That ball was crying.
And
that
he kind of
was
like,
so tight.
Yeah, the ball split in half.
Like, yeah.
Oh, wait, Noah has it right here. Look, I like how he gives it a little boom. And
he
like
just was never able to get that hand out in front.
Doc, start here for the Rays.
I want to do that. Bang. The pitcher. Oh.
He just was never able to get
that. That is like a luscious ass.
That's an insane ass. There's girls that would go to baseball games at Tulane just to see that ass. Those pants really accentuate the ass.
Women don't go to men's they do. Bobbies. No,
you're
they don't.
Wrong. You're
they
so really wrong. Don't. You're
they don't
so
go
wrong.
For it. It's just an added perk.
No, they go because they think they might have a chance of fucking those guys, but they don't go just to ogle.
I'm telling you, they were ogling. I had friends that ogled. There were a lot of baseball groupies that loved the tight pants with the ass.
But they also think they have a chance of fucking those guys. That's why
of
they
course.
Go.
If of they, course.
Well, that's mainly
why,
what
why
it is.
Why is that it's two not, different things? Why is that
because
two different
if
things?
The, if the chance to fuck them was out of the equation, then it wouldn't happen. Like, if they were just ogling, like, if they could go watch it on a screen where it was just close-ups of their asses, they probably wouldn't watch it from home. Do you know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, but I don't think they stand alone. I think ogling.
No, I've ogled before. I get it, but I would not. You just would
like
go
look
watch
up
porn.
If you Google Halle Berry looking at Kobe Bryant at the
basketball
game.
Oh yeah, but that's because she has a chance with Kobe Bryant.
For sure, but she was also ogling.
She did.
She ogled hard.
So. Anyway, I
so
will
you
say
threw the
that
ball.
Now I feel.
How did it feel? How did
I
it feel?
I'm really good. We threw for an hour, and I will say that I threw to him straight, and it wasn't always 60 feet away. It was usually like more like 40, but I will say that I threw straight 80% of the time, maybe 85, and I got it within inches of his mitt 70% of the time. Like it was undeniably I'm good, and like I have a good like I. My arm is weaker than my aim, but my aim is good. That's all I want to do is really throw it straight. So what I know now is that I get to do it one time. You know, I don't get to like, I can warm up a little bit, but it's going to be scary. Like if I get to throw five pitches, then people would be like, wow, she's good. If I fuck up one time and do the one bad one, because one out of every, you know, I would say 10% of the time, it's a fucking bad one. You know, I just like throw it into the ground or whatever. So... But what I know is that my boyfriend, who I really care about him, you know, being proud of his lady, he can be proud of me already and know what I'm he knows what I'm capable of. I know what I'm capable of, and it doesn't matter what happens.
Can I say something?
Yes.
If you throw too far, it will look cooler than coming up short. So if I were you, I would aim high because... No one's expecting a girl to be able to throw it like 70 feet. And if you were like, sorry, I'm too fucking strong, no one's going to laugh at that because
I just
want to
throw it dead straight. Well, yes. I'm okay if it goes a little short, but yes, I will aim to throw it. If I throw it straight on, it won't go 60 feet, but if I do it a little pop-up style, it'll go the 60 and a half. So I'm going to go for throwing it a little bit higher.
Yes.
Even though it looks a little bit more girly. But I really am aiming for like, wow, that was right on his mitt because my aim isn't really good. I will think, I mean, I don't know what to compare it to. Who knows? Maybe everyone's this good. But I felt, you know, me, I only do things that I feel like, oh, I'm actually like better than this than most people. And I felt my aim because my dad used to practice with me with Frisbee. He said, if you hit me on the chest and he'd be 60 feet away, I'll give you $50. And so we would always, he would just stand there with his chest. And I think I won it one time, but I know aim in that sense. Okay, let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
It's Wednesday, folks. You know what that means? It is Wednesday. Hope you're having a good time out there. It's the hump day of the week. It's the middle of the week. It's the top of the week. It's coming on back down, but it'll come back up during the weekend. Who knows? Maybe not. But I hope you're having all the swells out there, and I think Noah's going to take it away. Here we go. Take it down.
Just a friendly reminder to go to nikkiglaser.com/tour for Nikki's tour dates. And
thanks,
you're also
Noah.
On the Fully Loaded Comedy Festival. You got a couple of dates on those.
Yes, and I have also extended, if not on the Fully Loaded Burt tour, but on my tour, if you go alone and write me going alone in all caps, but in only that message, don't write something after it because I only see the last message you send. If you start it with going alone in all caps and you tell me you're going alone to a show, I will give you free meet and greet on me for being brave enough to go alone. And I will bump you up to a VIP meet and greet. So... just DM me going alone, all caps, if you want to go alone to any of the shows that aren't on the BERT tour. And that is my gift to you for being brave enough to go alone. Going alone, all caps. Give me your full name and what show you're going to. And boom, they'll be at the box office. No other requirements.
All right. So the first story, I have to say thanks to Bestie. She goes by Wit for Brains on Instagram. All right. Several, meaning four, kindergartners consumed a pre-mixed tequila drink marked as adult lemonade at snack time in their Michigan school.
Oh, good for them.
How fucked up did they get?
So poison control was called, but
so fucked up.
No student needed medical attention.
They were doing the conga line.
Yeah. They're like, this shit's weak.
Well, it had 10% alcohol, which is kind of a lot.
That's a lot.
And
that's 20 proof.
Why was it out there like just like labeled like so easily?
I bet one of them brought it from home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a student brought it from home. The spokesperson from the school said it's unfortunate that these types of adult beverages can easily be mistaken for child-friendly drinks.
Yes. Especially when it says adult on it and you're a little kid and you want to feel adult, or you don't even know what the word adult means, and it says lemonade, and, you know, things are labeled in such cute ways. You know that, remember the drink on Summer House that guy sells, Lover Boy? That is that's a little girl's, like, I would be obsessed with that packaging and stuff as a little girl.
That's
and
true.
So,
or truly.
But you know what, man? As someone who doesn't drink anymore, I get jealous of anyone who accidentally consumes alcohol and just gets to have a little fun buzz. Even kids who have developmental, like, brains that are still developing. One little drunky episode is not going to, it's just going to be a good story for the rest of their lives. So, good for them.
I never had a White Claw. Have you ever had a White Claw?
No. You should do that now.
I know. I guess I could have a White
Claw. Are you done drinking? Like, what's your status right now? Are you going back on the... What's going on?
I mean, COVID has really, like... I just want to be healthy right now.
Yes. Yeah. You don't want to do anything that affects your immune system.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll probably... Yeah, I'll have a White Claw.
Yeah, you
got to
do a White Claw.
Within this month, I'm going to have one fucking White Claw, dude.
Hell yes, dude.
And I'm going to drink it with 5 10-year-olds.
Or a Truly. Or a kombucha. Even a full blast kombucha would be yummy. I'm just like living out all my fantasies.
I love the kid that brings his like dad's heroin. He's like, oh, I thought it was.
I'm so jealous. They're like, we thought it was the kid's kind you inject into your asshole.
What was your science experiments? I don't know why.
Oh my God, I had the funniest fucking one ever.
I do too. Should we do this later? Or I don't know.
No,
I'm
dude,
sorry.
This is actually appropriate with this. I was in chemistry class. I did not understand anything about, you know, chemical reactions. And we had to do, we had to pitch a product that was based on, the assignment was, you create a product that you're selling, almost like Shark Tank, where there's a chemical reaction that happens in the product. All right. So the only chemical reaction I knew of, the easiest one, was baking soda, vinegar, boom, volcano, right?
Boom, kill a
seagull. That we all know. This is 10th grade. So like this is volcanoes. That chemical reaction is so like elementary. But I was like, I can still use it. It passes the test of this thing. So I came up with a product. This is honestly so funny. It was, I bought a baby doll, the hollow baby
doll.
Oh
God, I know what you did.
I put baking soda inside the baby doll after I took off its head, put the head back on. I made a hole in its mouth. And it was a baby doll that taught kids about the dangers of drinking alcohol. And then I put vinegar in like a beer on the bottle. And then I was like, you know, this is a baby doll that you give your children to teach them like alcohol is bad for you and makes you sick. And so I poured, I was like, baby loves beer. And I poured it into the baby, starts spewing up everywhere.
That's awesome.
It was a doll that DARE teachers could take around to schools to teach kids. And I got A++ because of creativity, more so than the chemical reaction that I had to also explain on the whiteboard, I think, right? You know,
that's a great invention. I really like that invention.
Thank you. I got really creative with. I had some great school projects. What about you?
Oh, I've told you this. I mean, I was a little less creative with this one. I brought in a few different kind of fruits, and I had people plug their nose to see if smell affects taste. So the idea was they clamp their nose so they can't smell. And so
I like that.
Here's the thing though, I forgot the clamp. So I just blindfolded them.
Well, they could plug their nose.
I guess they could have, but they didn't. So I just blindfolded them and they were like, "Yeah, that's an orange. That's an apple. That's an orange. Yeah, they were all 50 for 50. Like, it was literally, there was no, the hypothesis is that I'm a fucking moron. And the conclusion was, I was right. But literally, like, you would think by, like, 48, like, of them going, that's an orange, I would have stopped. But I think I stuck with it to because, like, I had to be confident about how bad, like, yes. I fucked up. You know what I mean? Like if
yeah. You when like, you fuck
by,
up
like,
sometimes
30,
you just...
I was like, yeah. I was like, by 30, I was just like, I know this is wrong.
It's like
there's
when Kirsten
no way.
And I would see the guy in class lean back in his chair to be good, and then he'd fall over, and he'd be like, I loved it. I want to do it again. And you're like, no, you didn't. You fucked up, and now you're, like, embracing it like it was meant to be. We used to make fun of that guy so much.
Dude.
Next
it
news
was so
story.
Funny.
All right. Andrew.
Yes,
a study finds that American men's penises are only the 59th biggest in the world, beaten by Haitians, Australians, and French.
Whoa.
Wait, 59th out of countries or 59th percent? What is
country.
59th. So we're number
59. Here's the schlong list.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Okay. These aren't
so
crazy
Ecuador
numbers.
Is 6.93 inches average. Yep. Wait, we're not seeing. I'm not seeing the whole thing, Noah, because
longitude or latitude
thing is zoomed in.
Yeah, so Ecuador comes in at number one with 6.93 inches.
Is it because we're closer to the equator?
It goes Ecuador, Cameroon, Bolivia, Sudan, Haiti, France. I would think
France is number 11.
Although all these countries, I will say, have their foreskin still, which I bet adds 0.3 inches.
No, this is erect. This is erect.
I know, but they so their foreskin gets pulled back. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, I feel like in any country that might be a little smaller where everyone's pretty much similar, so you're going to get similar sized dicks. America, you have so much diversity, so you could have a 3-inch dick.
I know, so we get, think about
true.
If we didn't have so much diversity, it was just all the white man. Well,
all little Jewish
so
guys.
So we would be a lot lower.
The average length
we'd be number 6,000.
The average length of an American man's penis.
Countries. Yeah.
Yeah.
According to the study that The Sun posted about.
It has to be 5.20 or something.
5.35 inches.
That can't be right.
That's the average in the U.S.?
Yes.
No, that makes sense. That's a decent size. That's
good size.
That's a decent size. That's
no,
half a ruler.
No, you don't know penis length. You always like you guys draw it at this Comedy Cellar, and you
no,
guys
dude,
draw
I
dicks.
Know what it is. I'm saying I know you think that that's small, but
no,
it's not.
No, but I'm saying what you think 5.3. I get a ruler because I
know
honestly
what
think,
I know what 6 inches is. 6 inches is this.
Whenever you draw dicks on
yeah,
the,
we were drawing big dicks though, Andrew. We knew that. I
your
know vein, what
your one vein
penis
on a dick
is
bigger
I
than
I did a
most
whole
dicks.
Special about how my boyfriend's penis was average and how he should be proud of it. I know what an average penis is.
Okay, but when
and
you
it's
draw
definitely
a penis.
Above average if it's But okay, how many countries do you think there are? Don't look, guys, don't look. Cuz I just
world?
Looked it up cuz I kind of didn't know in the world. No, in the universe.
If we're 59 out of
No,
dicks.
In our country, how many countries are
no,
there?
No, I know, I think. Oh yeah. I'm going to go with I'd say there's
a million?
220.
Classic Jen.
220.
What? Okay, 220. Noah?
I think like in the 300s.
It's so funny. I would have guessed like 240. I think 220, 240. 195.
Okay. So
but
who's
isn't
100
it funny that we don't know that?
Can I like, find out who's 195 on dicks?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, who has the smallest dicks? Noah, is there anyone? Or who's the smallest on the list?
Yes, that was included, but I didn't want to disparage anyone, so I didn't.
Oh, come on. It's fine. What country?
Small dicks are not a bad thing.
Yeah,
I love small dicks.
Especially when it's a whole country.
I really do.
They could put them all together.
I believe it was Cambodia that came in last.
Cambodia. Okay. Oh yeah, I don't want to do the whole, like, Asians have small penises thing.
Yeah,
it just is so ugh and tired. And also, I don't think true. But if it is, who gives a fuck?
What's the size? It's like 3.
My whole special is turning into. I just want to do a whole special about guys with small penises and how they should be proud. There was a lot. I posted something on my Instagram yesterday from Belessa, the account that said. Let me see if it's still up there. 1 second.
You know what they should make? They should make a thing that goes around your penis. That like.
What do
maybe
you mean?
Like.
Like a,
I don't know, like a dildo, that, like a peg for your penis, but you don't.
They have that.
Really?
Yeah, like an extension for the penis.
Yeah.
That men can wear. Yeah, they have that.
Yeah, they've tried everything.
They have everything. That? They do.
Can you feel the? I wonder if you could feel like
Balesa Company, Balesa Co. on Instagram. I posted this on my story. I've never gotten so many reactions to something I put on my story than this. It was a tweet from Just KY1018. Says, when men learn the vibrator is their teammate and not the competition, society will heal. And I had so many guys writing to me being like, yes, girl, being like, hey, I allow that. Will you date me? And then I had so many girls writing to me, including one who, I'm not going to reveal who it was, but it's someone who I think I know personally. It's one of those internet friendships that you don't know if you've met personally, but she said... my boyfriend doesn't believe, she goes 100%, my boyfriend doesn't believe me. I said, not okay. She goes, alpha males are insecure, LOL. I said, I won't have sex without them. Meaning alpha males, no. Meaning vibrators. She said, I bring it out always. The weird thing is every other guy that didn't want to be my boyfriend never had a problem with it, LOL. I said, guys need to understand that these toys do not replace them. We need them to make these toys work best. I would rather have a guy in a vibe over a vibe alone any day. She said, exactly, and it's a compliment. We want to share it with them. I said, they don't make guys obsolete. We need them to hold them. And she said, yeah, I get off more often when he's not in, when he's involved with, you know, with the toy. She goes, my hand gets tired holding it. And then I said, it's so nice to have someone do it. And she said, and they are learning too. I'm all about it. And it just sucks that there are any girls, like this girl's like a cool, fucking opinionated, funny girl that is dealing with a guy who's insecure about that. It's just like, I think that just sets the stage for a lot of insecurity elsewhere in the relationship. It makes me nervous when guys have that hang up. But I get it. We just need to dismantle it by telling the truth. Because I think guys just, it'd be like if a guy had a fuck doll and you would take offense to that somehow and maybe we don't understand it fully. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I guess if I was having sex with a fuck doll underneath your ass, that probably wouldn't be. They're like,
yeah. I don't know. I like to be treated like a fuck doll. I know. Noah's like, I'm into
it. But what if the guy, here's a scenario. You're hooking up with a guy. He can't orgasm. He has to go roll over and have sex with the fuck doll to come in front of you.
Hot.
I would say I would be fine with that too because I would say it's not me. Well, it's not because
what if the fuck doll was a brunette?
It's no human woman. I would go.
That was
no, but
like look nothing like you.
Well, I get your joke, but I really do think that I wouldn't care because I would go. This guy has been trained to get off with this fuck doll when I haven't been in his life, and he it's not just my vagina, it's no girl's vagina. Like this thing, I can never be the same vagina as a fuck doll. I would never feel jealous of piece of machinery.
And we're in bed with him.
Yeah,
living one.
Oh, I'm not saying I think it's
and
great
I could
that
suck
you're
his
cool
dick or I could kiss him while he's fucking the fuck doll. Like there's things that I can bring to the fuck doll situation that alone the fuck doll would not provide for him. Even if it's
okay,
me,
but what
like,
if it's
muffled
every time?
In the closet going, like, you might like that.
What if it's every time?
I don't care. Because I understand that men have sexual dysfunction just as women do. Dysfunction meaning we have been trained to get off on our own when we're single with these toys, and we have become addicted to porn, addicted to toys, and I've raised the bar for how much pressure I need on my vagina and how much stimulation I need. And it's because of toys. And that doesn't mean that I should now have to it's like salting your food. Like it would be, it's embarrassing. Chefs don't like it when you salt your food, but it's like, well, bitch, I don't have a chef cooking for me all the time. So I've grown accustomed to really salty food and I'm going to salt this fucking dish and you shouldn't take offense to it. It's just, you should wean yourself off and attempt to, but it should not be offensive to you that, because he would be with the fuck doll if he wanted to be with the fuck doll. If a guy is with you or a girl is with you, they are not, if you think they're with you for a reason other than being with you, that's a whole other thing. But
yeah,
they just trust them to not be with you if they don't want to be with you. That's just
I think I have the joke about, you know, feeling like Woody from Toy Story with all the new dicks showing up. And like,
yes,
I think both can be true that like, I love like using it and having it as like a tag team partner. I really do.
Yeah.
And at the same point, I'm a little insecure where it's like, oh, but I can't do it on my own without my tag team partner. who might be better than me at what he's doing, even though he's made in a lab.
But also, you know that as a guy that can't come, like, needed your hand. Like, can't you just act like it's like that, like the same way?
Yeah, and I do. And, like, I would say 80% of me is teamwork all the way.
Yeah, 20% of me is
still, it's still a little insecure.
That makes sense. Like,
so I think, you know, I think if guys can, you could come at guys, well, come at guys, but in that angle of being like, look, I get it. You could still be insecure, but also like, look at it as a team.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't have to be like, no, you
don't have to. Yeah. Don't be insecure. Yeah. You're a pussy if you're insecure. No.
Yeah.
Address that you're insecure, but, you know, realize it's coming from places that maybe you need to work on outside of the bedroom. And it's not that, you know, but yeah. Not being critical of being
it's
insecure.
Like if you're playing baseball catch. It's like, what are you going to catch with your bare hands, or you need a mitt? Like a mitt. What are you mad at the mitt? Don't be mad at the mitt.
I'm catching with my pussy pump. It has like a good hollowed out cove that I can catch
it
right
use
in
at
there.
The game.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. They'd be like, okay. They'd be like, can we make it Jenna Jameson Day instead of this whore? Okay, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Why Do I Care.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app, Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All right, we're back. Why do I care?
Why do I care?
Another story submitted by a couple of besties.
Oh my God, you would love to know this.
A Swifty scientist names a new millipede species.
Millipede!
After Taylor Swift.
This got sent to me by Ailey, who we talked about yesterday, who's the one that gave Andrew the advice about the COVID medicine. Ailey sent this to me yesterday. I couldn't handle it because it is combining the thing I love most in the world with the thing I love the least. Millipedes and centipedes are my number one and two, and house centipedes. Ugh, millipedes are so disgusting. The fact that they move slower does buy them something. So what is it called?
All right, so this new millipede species is Nonaria swiftae, which is... oh man, I didn't put it.
I'm a Taylor Swift fan.
Okay, so in his tweet, he goes, "I'm a big fan of her music, so I wanted to show my appreciation by naming this new species from Tennessee after her. A high honor."
Well, she is also, you know, from Tennessee now. She is originally from Pennsylvania, but I love this. I would probably do the same thing. When I was asked what Cardinals jersey number I wanted, I picked 13 because I'm a Swiftie, and that's Swifties, that's a number. I almost picked 19 because that used to be my favorite number, because 1-9 is Dave Matthews' birthday, but I have let that go. Funky. And so it's 13. I would probably do the same thing. I have to say that lately, I don't know how to say this. My Taylor Swift obsession has been relaxing, and I don't know why. It's maybe just I still love her, I still consume everything. The obsession, though, is there's just less of a, like, I don't know what's happening. Maybe I'm maturing finally. I don't know what's going on. But I don't, when I go, I don't need to listen to her constantly. I don't need to, because also we haven't had a lot of new music in a while, and also none of her songs, I'm happy right now, so none of her songs besides Lover are really hitting it for me.
This is a typical pattern with obsession, by the way. Like, if you took a graph and you have, you know, like how much you're obsessed versus time, the line always shoots up, like straight up.
Yeah.
So you can't maintain. I've maintained this obsession for a really long time.
And you have a new singer in your life.
And I also have loved Wilco this much before, Dave Matthews Band. And yeah, Phoebe Bridgers, I'm very much into right now. I've talked about it a little bit. She's not even close to replacing Taylor at this point. But I'm for some reason, I've been really into just new music and music really by people who are inspired by Taylor. Olivia Rodrigo as well. Like, these are all kind of disciples of Taylor Swift that have come out of what she's made. So, and also I'm really into like Girl in Red. I'm into and King Princess. I'm so into King Princess. I am into sad girl rock, but I am into lesbian sad girl rock more specifically. Girl in Red and King Princess are and Fletcher I'm into as well. They're all lesbians, and there's just something badass about these girls who are singing about women. There's
you
this
like
one
Tegan
song
and
that
Sarah too, don't you?
Oh, Tegan and Sarah, I've loved forever. I fucking love them so much. But Girl in Red does this song called, and I had a dream about it last night. It's called girls. And she goes, they're so pretty, it hurts. I'm not talking about boys, I'm talking about girls. They're so pretty with their buttoned up shirts. Ooh. And it's just all about like, I know I should be into this guy, but of these feelings, like she's talking about like, I'm supposed to like guys, but I like girls. I love these songs. And it's, I think it's not because I'm like into girls or whatever. People keep writing me being like, are you coming out? Because I made a post on Andrew's post that I said, you know, I appreciate him being a straight friend to a straight man, being a good friend to a straight. And then I put a question mark woman. I do believe I'm fluid and could be into girls. I don't think that I'm mostly gay or anything like that. But I don't know if you out there have any recommendations of any other lesbian rock or like indie rock. Melissa Etheridge, I fucking love her. She has this song Bonnie called Ray. I Wanna Be In Love, where in the music video, she is hitting on Jennifer Aniston, and it's one of the hottest music videos ever. So check that out. Let's get to our Wednesday game, which is a wild card. We haven't played it for a while. It's time for Finish My Sentence. Finish My Sentence is, I was sounding like I was going to say brought to you by, but it is brought to you by Noah's Brain today, because she was like, we should do Finish My Sentence. And Andrew and I will try to complete each other's sentences, what we think we would say for each other. And then we will weigh in on how well we know each other.
All right. So
what is the sentence, Noah?
Today's Finish My Sentence is, the bad habit I wish I could let go of is...
Mm. All right.
Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
As Andrew.
Yes. Hi, guys. I'm Andrew. What's up out there, guys? What's up? Okay. Here we go. So
I sound pretty cool, man.
The bad habit I would like to get rid of is putting
always
off
make me nervous.
Calling my mom.
Oh. That's a good
one. And just like procrastinating on calling my mom. It's probably the bad habit that I would like to just have lifted. Did I just like figure yours out for you?
Yeah, that was yours too. No.
I
kidding.
Mean, honestly, it's my Aunt Sally, but yes, I'm projecting. Why is
well,
it
my
so
mom,
hard?
Why is it hard? Because, you know, my mom's sick. And so it's
and,
like,
yeah, it's hard just, to hear. It's hard to be confronted with that. And yeah,
it's tough. Also, she's sober for 12 years now or so, and so
and you fall off the wagon and you're just a disappointment to her. Why don't you just down a couple fucking White Claws and give her a call next? Maybe that'll give you the courage to call her.
I drank too many, I forgot. I White Clawed that phone.
What do you think about my prediction?
What do you mean?
Does it ring true for you, or is there one that you would
more like
to let
go of? No, it definitely rings true.
I
mean, no, it's so funny that it rings so true, because I just had, you know, my birthday, my mom called me, I didn't call her back. You know, I was dealing with COVID and shit, whatever. But, and then she, you know, the thing that parents do is maybe they won't call you for like 5 weeks, and then they'll call you 2 days in a row and go, well, why didn't you call me back? It's like, mm-hmm. Well, this isn't like an ongoing thing. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is why I don't at times.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to make me feel bad because I didn't call back within. And then I play that all up in my head, and I'm like, oh, well, now I'm waiting too long. Now I can't call because then it's
so
going to be
so many
like,
times I've done that. God, where, so you know what I found, though? And maybe this isn't just advice to you because I know you get it, but I've been such a person that forgets to write back emails, doesn't return calls, and then I wait too long, and then it gets to the point where if I do, I have to address the fact that I mm-hmm. haven't, and so you just ghost that person. I really have found that saying to the person, either in the email that you write back to, I have an email that I have to write today, actually, to a fucking executive at HBO who is someone that could give me a TV show. I haven't written back to her because it was just such a big deal. I mean, here's when I wrote to Bill Maher. I'll give you an example. So Bill Maher, I'm not trying to brag, but this is just an example of like, why wouldn't I write back to Bill fucking Maher? And the truth is, because the ones you don't write back to are generally the ones that mean the most. It's not that they mean the least.
Wow.
It means they mean the most. And you can actually say that if it's true for you. So I wrote to him recently. Hold on, let me just pull this up. So he wrote me, and then I didn't get back to him for 6 days, which to me is a long time, especially with like, I just, with Bill, like, it was something.
Were you worried
that
about what
to.
He would write back if you wrote, like, because of past?
No, well, we've had past interactions which haven't gone smoothly on email, but we are so past that. Like, he's a good friend. I feel, I consider him, like, we sign off, like, I love you. Like, I love Bill Maher. Like, he is someone, a dear friend at this point after our trip. I said, Bill, for whatever reason, I always put off writing you back because I still have you on a pedestal, in parentheses, you're not coming down anytime soon. And then I just keep waiting until I feel like I have time to really make myself sound as cool and as smart as possible. Oh. Then it just gets to the point where it seems like I'm not writing back because I don't care, which honestly might be the coolest look possible. So I guess my system works. Kidding. It's so lame of me. But just like I would never take it personally if you went, oh, he had written me that he had to unfollow me because he had to wipe his Instagram clean. And he was like, hey, I unfollowed you. Don't read into it. I said, But just like I would never take it personally if you unfollowed me, I hope you don't take my lag in response as anything other than me being in my own head about being friends with someone who I idolize. I said, we can talk about all of this and more on the podcast. I can't fucking wait to hang out with you again. Thanks for having me. Love you, Nikki. And it just, I guess just being honest about it, like even, you know, my Aunt Sally, who I dread every day I'm going to get a call that she's dead, and then I'll regret not talking to this kooky woman who talks very slow, which is hard for me to talk to someone who talks slow, but she's had seizures that make her talk like this, but she's so funny and so cool. And I don't call her. She calls me all the time, and I always let it go to voicemail. I don't even have a voicemail anymore because she can't even leave me a voice message. And I think that the solution is to, she never gives me shit about it ever, but I think it's just being honest and being like, Sally, I love you so much and I get sad talking to you because I feel like I should call you more and I want you to be happy. And it just is, you know, just being honest about the overwhelming part of it. Is that something that you could do to your mom, Andrew, and just be like, I kind of get scared that you're going to give me shit about not calling you, and that's maybe why I delay even more, and I'm really, you know?
Yeah, and I've had that conversation before in the past, and I've been honest about that. I do think also there's something to, like, putting Bill Maher on a pedestal, or if I put, like, you know, I got back to Jake Owen, like, but, like, why am I not getting back to my own mother? It's like, why are we putting these celebrities, whatever, and I know they're friends.
Ahead of
like people that like really matter to you, and partly is because
they love you and you know they'll forgive you. Yeah. Okay. Let's get to mine. Yeah. Will you do mine? I think you. All right. I mean, so I could have the same one. So my
The sentence is, the bad habit I wish I could let go of is.
You have to say, maybe, Nikki Glaser.
Hi, I'm Nikki. I'm the one that, you know, fucking throws a baseball and stuff. Whatever. I'm having like a whole day. It's like, I have like a key coming at me about like Ballpark Village. Whatever. It's not a big deal. My name's going to be on top of a sign on top of a building that no one will ever see. Anyhow. my biggest, I would say, wait, what was the word? I'm sorry. Now I forgot the sentence. I was going off so much.
Bad habit maybe would be
being a little too judgmental of, someone's significant other right when I meet them.
Wait. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I know. We're not talking about Brenna, by the way. I think people are going to think I'm talking about Brenna.
No.
No, I love that part of me, and I think I'm right. Not looking to get rid of that at all. I 100% know when my friends are in a bad relationship.
Within seconds?
No, within minutes. I give so, you know, and this is also formulated from watching Instagram stories, you know, collecting data along the way. I, for someone who's been in bad relationships before, who's been faking it, I just swear, I would say that that is not something I'm looking to get rid of. Although I will say being judgmental in general, yes. I think the bad habit I'm looking to get rid of would be
what about assuming you know the whole story without knowing the whole story?
I think that's again, like, I think that's something I wouldn't want to get rid of because I do that. I'm
fun.
Just saying it makes me a good comedian because I can go, it's part of my ADD. I know the whole story, which I know. The thing is, I will admit when I'm wrong. So I don't have a problem being wrong. And going the whole way, that skill that I have of taking things too far and seeing and like going so far that I like know the outcome years from now. You know, me saying I don't want to get married because I don't want to get divorced and I don't want to go to Target to have to pick out a pencil skirt to wear to court. Like that's a joke that came from me taking things too far and going like, why are you already divorced? You don't want to get engaged because you don't want to go to pick out a pencil skirt to wear to court. That's funny. But so I will say that there's something to that though. And I agree with you, which is, I would like to be better about just leading with love, even when I am thinking that someone isn't right for my friend that they're dating, just leading with love and knowing that it's not about me. I think so often I get into this thing of like how I'm feeling in a situation. Let's say my friend starts dating someone and they're not paying me enough attention or they're acting weird around me. I have to realize that they're not thinking of me. They're not thinking I'm being weird around Nikki. They're just trying to survive in this weird ass relationship they're in, which I know, but I'm taking it personally. Like it's affect. Most of the time when people are struggling in their own lives, everyone else is affected, but they can't handle these little, you know, peripheral issues, these little fires that you might be one of them. They're not thinking of you because they have a whole fucking smoldering thing to take care of in their own life. And they're struggling. They're just trying to keep their head above water. And they haven't even begun to address the problems of this relationship. So everything else is affected. And they'll get to those things when they address this bigger thing. But it's not about you. And I think that my bad habit that I would let go of is to be less selfish, which I'm always trying to do, even though Nikki Glaser Day is coming up, and this is the Nikki Glaser podcast, and Welcome Home Nikki Glaser is coming too. E, and my tour One Night with Nikki Glaser is now. Listen, I only put my name on everything because it's not about me being like, you guys know I don't really like myself. I have bad self-esteem. I can't even watch myself. It's about me wanting to make more money. It's a branding thing, and I want to make more money so that I can do more good in the world and lend my money to friends. So it's not selfish, but I will say that in conversation, I can sometimes talk too much. On this podcast, I can talk too much, and I would like to be a better listener. Final thought.
It's just funny, though. It's like branding like that. You know, Tom Brady does it. Trump obviously does it. But it's like, have to do it. It's not.
No, I'm making good financial decisions for myself.
Yeah, it's like, what are you supposed to do?
If I put my name on, and I didn't want to put my name on everything initially when I wasn't good enough, but it really is about me. If I put my name on things, more people know my name equals more opportunities, equals more money, equals I'm going to survive the apocalypse and I'm going to be able to support my friends and family who don't make as much money. That's really how I look at it. And I really look, and I've said this before, but, you know, you watching the E! Show, besties out there, which I just learned there's still 700 million cable subscribers in the country. Maybe it's 200 Jesus. Million. Fuck. It's crazy. It's so many more than countries.
Yeah.
In that many countries. I read this article about why talk shows don't work on streaming services. Let me just look up this number. How many cable subscribers in the U.S.? I didn't know this. See, I thought no one had cable anymore. You know, we're cutting the cord. We're all going streaming. I always thought you would say...
Oh, go ahead.
70 million cable subscribers still in the U.S. Yesterday, I read it was like 200 million. I really did. I think it's more like 200 million. To compare that, Apple TV has like 12 million subscribers. So when you're in a streaming service, and that's Apple TV compared to Netflix, I'm sure they don't release their numbers, but Jon Stewart's show got 40,000 views the second week. The first week it got like 70,000, which is nothing. And the second week it got
And YouTube views he gets is like a million, but still.
I've said how great his fucking show is.
Netflix just had the lowest streaming numbers in first quarter or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they upped their prices and their content. You know, people have a problem with it's just not quality content. I think it's better than ever. I'm loving The Ultimatum, and Love is Blind was amazing. And also there's that Jimmy Savile documentary. I've been like consuming so much, but I want to just say that people watching Welcome Home Nikki Glaser ? On May 1st, I'm probably going to be on Fallon May 2nd too, so look out for that, is about me, like, I just want people to watch so I can make another season and hang out with Andrew and my boyfriend and my family. It, that really is not like a money, like when people are like, please watch this thing. It's always about money. I swear to God, I just want to make shows. I just want to hang out with my family. So that's really what you'd be supporting. Are you gearing up for the show, Andrew? It is interesting
too for like the, you know, I think about the show and I'm like, you know, I see like, what's that show? Like the Asian show where it's like bling and everything is so flashy on TV. And I kind of like that our show, you know, it just, yes, we do. We go on our gigs and it does seem like kind of cool when we're like, you know, performing and there is that like aspect of it. But other than that, it really is like just such a relatable, like we're just regular people. We're not trying too hard to look, you know, like we're just like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like worried that people aren't going to watch because we're not like, you know, throwing each other down a
second
you know,
season, you're going to be all white clawed up. That's going to bring something to it. You're right. Like mom. I had those same worry too, because like reality shows are great because of drinking. I mean, I'm watching The Ultimatum and it's like all this shit's happening because these people are getting loaded and doing stuff that they regret. I mean, so many reality shows, the best moments, flipping tables, throwing wine. It's all centered around drinking. Summer House, these fights. Without drinking, it wouldn't happen. And so there's not a lot of like, there's just a lot of, for me, I you know, there was a lot of like painful things that I had to experience and like tough stuff I had to go through during this reality show in terms of therapy and talking to my parents about stuff. So there's that, but there's not a lot of drama. It's just fun.
I think though, you know, there's a lot of heart in it. And I really do feel that way. Like I'm just thinking about like when we're on the dock and we're all talking.
Oh my God,
like,
there's just a
lot
of
family
day.
And like, and I don't know. And I think people are going to get stuff out of that. And I would hope to think that that is still, you know, the Andy Griffith show was kind of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think like people
that means
need
so much
that
to me.
Where it's like not. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's whistling.
That was something. listen,
but
it's
yeah,
not as good
so
as my fucking throw.
I think that can still be needed and hopefully it's, you don't need to fucking have a flashy bullshit to get to people still. But
the flashy bullshit is so much
fun.
About, we still, the show still moves fast. You know, it definitely isn't, you know, just down by the creek, like, just like, you know,
chewing on a straw.
Our thumbs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The show is manic almost in terms of how it's TikTok like levels of fast. Each scene is like 30 seconds long, so it's like, and the first premiere, you guys are gonna love it so much. Especially besties are just, I don't even worry about them liking it. Everyone's gonna like this show because you can't, it's just funny people doing funny stuff, and I'm the least funny of everyone, I swear to God. And Andrew's like, no one's arguing. But I was
I'm arguing
so I was so like, got to be in the background and just let everyone around me be funny. It was so nice, and it just really feels like I can just be proud, not of my performance as much as like knowing that this was a good idea and casting this, because in casting meaning just like, oh, putting, you know, these people in my life. Noah's gonna be on it. They filmed us doing our live podcast. You guys are gonna recognize everyone in this. You're gonna know all the stories because we were living this life while we were doing the podcast, and the podcast is gonna be all over it. So besties, I really need your support in getting the word out and getting people on board. The first week they're gonna play the fuck out of this all the time on E. Every single night they're doing a marathon of the first two episodes back to back, so people just get, which is
the
best
thing
ever.
Have you seen the second episode? Have you seen the second one?
I want to be surprised. I want to watch it on the night of, but I would love for besties to get together and do like a viewing party, or just like get your friends involved, because I want, this is the new Kardashian spot, and it could be the new Kardashians for you to like comment on, and like, you know, just, it's not going to be the same as Kardashians obviously, but it's just an extra layer of behind the scenes of my life that I think is not necessarily the most interesting life, but it is just an honest one, and I hope that you guys all like it. And
I like that. That was good.
You know, oh, thanks, man. Maybe that'll be the
good
tagline.
That should be like a tagline. That's good.
Oh, thanks. All right. Well, we
it's
gotta
not
go.
The most
thank
exciting
you so much,
one.
Besties.
It's just
we'll
an honest one.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a John Prine song
Ooh,
right there.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Thanks for that T-shirt, by the way. Okay.
All right, guys. Yeah, I got him a shirt. Let's go. We'll be back here tomorrow. Don't worry about that. Next week, I'm going to be in New York. Come see us this weekend. New Orleans, Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville, Nashville, Sunday. Nashville Sunday. You guys, I want to sell the Ryman out. So, and also, if you go alone and you write me going alone, all in caps, on my Instagram and give me your full name and what show you're going to, I will grant you a bump up to a free meet and greet ticket, which is usually, $50 or so more. I'll give you that to you for free. I love you guys so much. Don't be kid. And Jack Owen.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.